14 months ago, Seattle-based Amazon launched an epic contest for cities to bid for its second headquarters. It was a contest unlike any we'd seen. It was going to bring $5 billion and 50,000 jobs to the winner, and this satellite was going to be co-equal to Seattle in prestige and influence. Now we know who won that contest.
Hey, you've got it! You've got the last golden ticket! The kids found the last...
Seattle is going to be sharing its headquarters status with not one, but two locations. D.C.
Well, Northern Virginia.
And New York City.
Well, you mean Queens.
And don't forget Nashville. It also got a consolation prize of 5,000 employees.
I got a golden ticket.
But the big winners are paying big time for the privilege. For each job created, New York will pay $48,000. Virginia will pay $22,000 per job.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Primed, a podcast that explores what happens when Amazon comes to your town. I'm Carolyn Adolph.
I'm Joshua McNichols. We're going to let New York and D.C. know a little of what they can expect from their new neighbor.
We'll talk about the biggest political story in Amazon's history here, how an attempt to raise taxes to pay for homelessness services went sideways. We'll also try to make sense of why Amazon chose New York City and Washington, D.C. for its new HQ2 and HQ3. Joshua, do you remember the love memo?
Yes, I love the love memo story.
It's basically Jeff Bezos' manifesto about how to be loved as a company, like Apple, instead of feared like Walmart. He boils it down to a list of things that are cool and not cool, and this is a couple of years back.
Let's hear it again.
Well, winning is cool, and defeating tiny guys is not cool. Explorers are cool. Conquerors are not cool.
I agree.
Well, I think so, too. Empowering others, like consumers and communities, that's cool. But capturing all the value only for the company is not cool.
New York University professor Scott Galloway says they may not think it's cool, but that's essentially what they did with the giant sweepstakes they ran. He says they used the HQ2 search to milk cities for the juiciest incentives. He says he feels sorriest of all for the loser cities.
Oh, Columbus and Indianapolis, it was just so cute that you actually believed you were in the running. That the wealthiest man in the world, who has the most options in the world, was going to spend 12 minutes, much less 12 weeks a year, in your city.
Gee, Scott, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think. Of course, some places are feeling the love right now. Northern Virginia and Queens, New York. Virginia and New York both ponied up big incentive packages, including tax breaks and infrastructure promises. Ultimately, though, Jeff Bezos has said that he relies on his gut for these kinds of decisions.
Yeah, kind of like he did when he first chose Seattle. People might be surprised to know that the story of how Bezos wound up in Seattle actually started in New York. Back in 1994, Jeff Bezos was a young computer expert working for an investment company on Wall Street.
What we did is we programmed the computers, and then the computers made stock trades.
Bezos began to put two and two together about how the free flow of information on the internet and the automation of industries could totally disrupt commerce as we know it.
And that was where I was working when I came across the fact that the web was growing at 2,300% a year, and that's what led to the forming of Amazon.com.
Bezos quit to form his own company, which would sell books over the internet. He dropped the news on his family that he would leave his well-paying Wall Street job.
They were immediately and reflexively supportive right after they asked the question, "What's the internet?"
Well, it was the 90s.
Bezos and his wife, Mackenzie, an aspiring author, headed for the West Coast.
By the time the movers came and collected our stuff to take it from New York City, I was still deciding between Seattle and Portland. And so I just told them, well, just get started heading west. And I'll let you know in a few days whether you should go to Seattle or Portland.
Ultimately, he chose Seattle.
Right, except it's very different for Bezos this time. Back in the 1990s, Jeff Bezos drove here in a 1988 Chevy Blazer. And now, in 2018, he and his executives are flying back and forth to negotiate these deals in a $65 million Gulfstream jet.
And he got a helipad in Queens out of the deal.
Hella cool.
Yeah, that little company that started out as a bookseller is now worth more than $1 trillion. And it's so much more than a bookseller.
It's an entertainment company and a grocery store and a cloud services provider. So why did he choose New York City and Washington, D.C.?
One thing we do know about why Amazon picked Seattle in the first place is that Jeff Bezos needed tech talent.
You know, I did locate Amazon in Seattle because of Microsoft. I thought that that big pool of technical talent would provide a good place to recruit talented people from, and that did turn out to be true.
And that's the same reason Amazon gave for choosing New York City and Northern Virginia. Talent. Dave Niekerk, who used to be the vice president of human resources at Amazon, told us about it. He said, in New York, there are fashionistas that will help Amazon sell clothes.
Having a center right in New York where that focus can be there shows that this is an area that Amazon's going to continue to focus on.
Heather Redman, a Seattle investor in tech startups, said New York will help Amazon expand into so many different areas.
Amazon insurance makes sense. I mean, they already know everything you have in your house. If you're a renter, why not buy your insurance from Amazon? Because they can replace it as well as think about what it should cost to insure it.
Another thing that the choice of two HQs tells us is that Amazon is anticipating maybe even more growth than we expected. The way to think about this is, it's not dividing its headquarters by choosing two cities, it's multiplying. Seattle University law professor Charles O'Kelly predicts that the Everything store is going to keep multiplying everywhere.
The reality for Seattle is that, you know, we're going to see less of Amazon as a boost to our economy, and over time, Amazon is going to be in D.C. and New York and Paris and all over the world.
And at each of these locations, Amazon could grow. You can see this in the incentives packages. Washington, D.C. and New York are both planning on having around 40,000 workers long term, not 25,000.
That's kind of like the size that we ended up with in Seattle.
Yes. And in Seattle, that's brought some problems along with the prosperity. High housing costs, nightmare traffic, homelessness.
You have to plan for that kind of growth.
Northern Virginia and Queens say they are up for the challenge. Not everyone is convinced, though. The announcements have touched off debate about crowding and high prices that might come to these new neighborhoods. For now, though, these places are just savoring the prospect of more than 25,000 jobs apiece with average salaries of $150,000.
Yeah. Remember how at the beginning, though, we said they're paying a pretty penny for those jobs?
Mm-hmm.
Here in Seattle, we tried to flip the script and make Amazon pay us for each employee. And that led to one of the most heated political battles in Seattle's recent history.
So I started to hear cuss words about Amazon around 2014. People were mad that Amazonians could buy houses for cash. Formerly affordable neighborhoods like Ballard in West Seattle were suddenly out of reach.
Yeah, rents were just going up and up and up.
And right around that time, the number of people living on the streets skyrocketed. Fast forward to spring 2018. Seattle City Council decides it needs more money to help these people, and it decides to get that money by taxing jobs in the city. Employers were going to have to pay a tax based on their employee headcount. Amazon called that bad policy, and it threatened to stop work on new offices that it was building to add 7,000 more workers.
That was like a tipping point for Seattle. I mean, people are still livid about rising property costs and homelessness.
Yeah, and at the same time, there was this fear of killing Seattle's golden goose. Emotions boiled over. There was this one public meeting in Ballard.
You think that rather than having your property taxes increase, you would want to tax rich people. Blaming the poor. No.
Some people are saying a tax on jobs will run all the employers out of Seattle.
All the employers out of Seattle.
Blaming poor people for what's going on is like blaming Syrian refugees for ISIS. Amazon is ISIS.
I remember our headline at KUOW.org after that meeting was, "The Day Seattle Nice Died."
Totally accurate headline. Ultimately, Amazon won. The head tax was repealed.
That whole episode showed just how much power Amazon has over Seattle. I mean, things will be different for them in D.C. and New York City.
No kidding.
Amazon is not a make-or-break deal for these places. Nobody's going to call them one-company towns.
Mm-mm.
That will limit Amazon's power in those cities. But Amazon also won't be under the same pressure there that they are here to solve this city's problems. So what does Amazon get by moving to D.C. and Queens? We're heading there to find out. I'm about to get on a plane to New York City. Amazon's got its eyes on the fashion, food, and advertising industries there.
And I'm headed to Washington, D.C., where Amazon is already zeroing in on government contracts. Think the government cloud.
I mean, part of what we want to explore in our next season of Primed is how this company is changing the way we all live and shop. We'll be looking at healthcare and Christmas trees.
And food.
All the things, an internet of things.
Whether it's HQ1, HQ2, or HQ12, the reality is Amazon is multiplying and is already changing life as we know it wherever you live. So we want to hear from you. What are your questions about Amazon? How is Amazon changing how you live your life? You can weigh in on our Facebook page. Search KUOW Primed. Music in this episode is by Raymond Scott and Pesner. The story of the love memo is from Brad Stone's book, The Everything Store.
Those Jeff Bezos quotes you heard on this episode, they all came from YouTube. But we'd love to talk to Jeff in person, so the offer is still open.
If you're new to this podcast, you can catch up on Seattle's love-hate relationship with Amazon by listening to season one of Primed. Find it at KUOW.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks.
Thanks.